The music's pretty
I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
But there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing.
Okay.
By a shady, wavy
all right.
pool.
How's everybody shady doing out there?
Really loud.
Good. Just getting in the mood. I don't know.
That's some good music, man.
It just lights me up. This is God and Fishing, and we got the God guy over there. Got the fishing guy over here. That's Pastor Donnie. I'm Fishing Frank, and we got Barry there, and we got a whole group of others here today. We got
we're full studio now.
A lot of people.
It's like an ensemble cast, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Donnie, why don't you get us, Pastor Donnie, you open us up.
All right. Again, this is Pastor Donnie Green, Grace by Faith, and we're going to lead off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to enjoy a good show today. This is to all the radio listeners. I just pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such a glorious day, Father, a day that you provided us, and Father, for an opportunity to come and serve you, Father, hopefully get the word out. Enjoyable time with our brothers here as we fellowship about our fish and all of our experiences out there on the water. And Father, we ask you to keep all the fishermen safe and make the fish plentiful. And Father, we lift up those to you that are in need and pray thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Dad, now, did you hear the Freudian slip on that one? The expenses out of the water. Did you catch that?
I heard it. Yep.
All right.
Now, for the radio land, I have mentioned Dad a few times on the radio. We have got him in the studio. Now the object is to get him to talk to us. So when I start to tell a fib on this story, you know, I caught a fish this big. I'm hoping that he'll chime in on us and you guys can meet the wonderful man that I am proudly able to call Dad. He's just a wonderful man. Yeah, his name's Gene Hanlon. He's been in Florida. He was a Florida-born boy, and he's been around the waters for a long time. He can tell you all about the redfish back in the day, and it's going to be a great show, guys. Just hang out with us.
Okay, now, who are the other people here in the studio?
Well, we know Barry. I mean, Barry's got his own show, too. He's my co-host on the Cooking Fish. Yeah. You might as well say he's a co-host here, too, you know. He's been on our show quite a few times. He's a great guy. He does the Tarpon
World Radio with Robert. I'll be doing that here soon.
And then we got our brother Jay. I've actually just met him a few weeks back. He's another member of our church. He is actually a known chef. He does some cooking. He loves to do some cooking.
So he's going to join us for Cooking Fish?
Yeah, he's going to be joining us with Cooking Fish, and he's going to see how it all works, and then we'll get him tuned in as well.
Sounds good.
And then, of course, we have the queen, the little princess over here, I should say, my granddaughter, Jacy. So she's going to join us again on the air today, too. So.
Yeah,
she's a good luck charm.
She's about the size of a wrist charm, too.
Yeah. She's going to be kind of... She loves the fish, too. You know, she enjoys it. So,
all right. What do we got in mind for fishing today? What are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to try to head out tomorrow. We're going to try to do some grouper fishing like normal. We're going to go out to some of the holes we haven't hit in a while. Again, off of Stump Pass, we'll probably run a 240 line, 250 line. We're going to go check out some of the reefs. We're going to go out to the Hawk.
All right. Well, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You came in the store today to pick up stuff. What were you picking up, or what do you need to get ready to go out there?
And what are you planning on targeting?
Yeah. Well, our main target for tomorrow
let's do getting ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep this in a pattern here. I want to do get ready, and then we'll go to what you're going to go for.
Our line, we're looking for a test line because, you know, our reels are pretty stroked out, okay? So we're looking for a test line. The last time I was here, we got some 30-pound tests. That's going to be for your smaller, your mangroves, your lanes, and so forth. Today, I picked up some 60 line. We had stepped up to 80 and 90 for the big fish down on the bottom, but what we have noticed is it makes it more visible. So we're going to step down to a 60-pound line. We used to run that. We had a lot of success from it, but what we found is we had some breakoffs down around the hook.
Is that, sorry to interrupt you, Donnie, but is that braid or mono that you're putting on?
Mono.
Mono, okay.
Yeah, monofilament. Okay. And what we like about the monofilament, when we tie off on it, we had a different tie off on the hook. So we had really just one string going through the eye, when it hooks up onto the bottom with the corals, the rocks, the fish, they get snapped off pretty easy. Okay. Now the way we're tying off this line, Frank, you'll have to remind me what the name of that line is that I used. The seven times wrapped around the hook and bring it back through the eye.
Uni knot.
Uni knot. It works really effective because you're not really pulling against that eye of the hook. It's really pulling against itself. And so it keeps going, you know, the pressure goes around that line.
Makes it tighter and tighter.
Oh, yeah. And it's very strong tie off. We go back to the swivel. We have the weights, you know, angled differently. So that's what we came in today for. We got some 60-pound tests. Then the guys at the shop, you know how they are, Steve and let's see here, Robert.
Carl. Carl was in there.
They put us onto this little bait, the little pink bait. What's the in a long strip? We've never used it before.
Fish bites.
That synthetic bait, right? Not a real bait. Yeah,
that's right. Bites. Yeah. And so he says, go try this out. So we're going to give it a try. We've never used it before. It looks like some real durable kind of bait. Mm-hmm. Small pieces for your snappers. And we are going to be targeting snappers tomorrow, rather it be lane snapper, mangroves, even pinfish, those kind of things. We're going to target those. As well as our grouper fish. So we'll use a longer strip for grouper, shorter for the snapper.
One of the things I like is I can use it on a standard jig with a J-hook because it's not natural bait. And it's illegal to use natural bait on a J-hook. You have to have circle hooks bottom fishing.
Okay.
Now, you can use a jig by itself or with fish bites or gulp. But I like being able to take that little bucktail jig and cast it out away from the boat with a spinning rod, let it hit the bottom, and bounce it back across, maybe for a flounder outside of the reef, or even sometimes it got grouper pickup on that. But once you put the fish bites on it, man, everything wants it.
Now, you think that'd be good for flounder?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Have you used it before?
Yes. I've used it a lot inshore, those fish bites, and I primarily use them when I go catch whiting.
Okay.
It works like a charm for whiting.
Okay.
And the cool thing about it is instead of putting a fresh piece of shrimp on or a sand flea every time, you can literally catch 10 fish on the same piece of synthetic bait.
Now, once we find out how this works, we'll know ourselves, but about how long will that last in the water if we're casting out there pretty much? I mean, will it last?
A couple hours, I would say.
Yeah. Really? So it don't.
Wouldn't you, Barry?
Yeah. The only issue is when you're fishing offshore, I don't know how much of it's going to dissolve on the way down and on the way up every time. So I haven't tried it offshore. That's the
but
only thing.
But if you're casting, retrieving it in shallow water, it's spending about the same amount of time as in deep water, really. I mean, it's not that much different.
Yeah, you're going to get a solid hour out of
it. I'd say at least an hour. You might even get more than that. And if you're just... A lot of the guys use it just to drop straight down and let it sit on the bottom and reel it back up. Mm-hmm. And like you say, you get multiple fish off it. You'll know when the scent is kind of gone because you won't be catching fish.
Right.
And
right.
just take out another piece. I make very small pieces. With the strip, I actually take a scissors and I cut it in half so it's thinner.
Okay.
Because I'm cheap.
Okay.
And I don't need that full wide strip.
Right.
If I'm using it on a jig. But if I'm using it on a hook, I leave it wider so it's a bigger presence.
Okay. Now on the hooks, are we going to go 1-0, 2-0 for the smaller fish, your snappers and your...
Either one, I would say. Barry, you got a preference?
I mean, for snapper and stuff, especially in the daylight, go as small as you can with the strongest hook you've got. I mean, downsize, if you start getting bent hooks, broken off, then step it up. But I'd rather start small.
Dad, you got an opinion? No. Hey, we got him to say one word. No.
Yeah, we got nope out of him, but come on now. You don't be shy, you know.
What would you start off with, Dad, tomorrow? What are you going to plan on targeting first? Are you going to go for the snapper?
Probably snapper.
Yeah.
We'll get bait fish first.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we'll go out for snapper.
Bait fish like what? Like the squirrel fish, pinfish?
Squirrel fish. We love squirrel fish. Everybody likes that.
Now, how do you like to catch the squirrel fish?
Usually we use a small rod, right? We have a two-odd hook, and we double hook it. Okay, so we have like I was telling you before, we have the weight at the bottom, we have a hook, and then we go up about 6 inches. We do another hook. This is on our leader. We have a 3-foot leader, and then we tie off with a swivel, and that's what generally when we drop down for our bait fish, I don't have enough time to throw mine out. He's catching two fish at a time that's record pace. As soon as he gets anywhere near about midway down or all the way to the bottom, he's catching. Right. And so he's coming back up with it.
If you've got,
now, Dad, go ahead. Sorry. Do you eat squirrel fish?
I never have tried.
Okay.
They say it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I got him up, Barry. He's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We just found out, because we used them for bait for a long time. We have just found out within the last 3-4 months that they're actually better tasting than grouper.
Then what you're actually...
No, okay. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that.
No, okay. Says no.
I think they're kind of like a porgy. I mean, they're good.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but I don't think they're as good as a grouper. Grouper have a unique flavor of their own.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like saying, which is better, strawberry or peanut butter?
Strawberry.
You know what I mean?
They have, oh.
Well, they got different flavors to them.
Yeah.
And some people might like the flavor of the squirrel fish better. Some people are going to like the flavor of the grouper better. Yeah. It's literally a flavor issue, not an edibility issue.
Now, the people that haven't seen the squirrel fish yet, they're not that big. They can get a little bit, but they're not that big. So you're looking for one that's probably, what, a foot long, 10 inches, 12
inches?
Yeah,
anything
like
over
that.
10 inches, you can flay the tail off, then use the carcass for bait.
Okay.
There you go.
Now, I can't remember your name, I'm sorry.
Jay.
Jay?
Yeah.
All right, Jay, have you you ever cooked squirrel fish?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've cooked lots of grouper, though.
So, well, we're going to get into that.
I'm curious as what the texture is between the two. Is it the same?
The grouper's a much bigger, flakier meat,
yeah.
And the squirrel fish is, God, I don't know how to describe it. But it's not flaky like the big fish are, where you got the big flakes of, you know, muscle meat.
Yeah.
It's more of a smaller consistency.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a tighter meat, firmer meat, they would call it.
I don't think firmer is the right word. It's just different. It's a different texture. It's not at all like...
Now, they're not a skilled fish. While the reason they're called squirrel fish is they aggravate you to death. They just run around and just cause a nuisance. A lot of fun to catch. You can fight them pretty decent. Especially if you get two on the line at the one time as you're bringing it up. The fish love them, though. That is one of the number one baits that we use out there. We call it candy for them. Because, I mean, you throw it down there, it's great.
Wow. Let's say you got about 6-inch to 8-inch squirrel fish. What size hook and how would you hook them up?
Now, us, what we like to do when we get those, we like to put the hook right behind their neck, right about where their neck is on top. And we'll feed it through. We usually use between a 5-aught and a 6-aught when we're going grouper. And we leave them whole. We leave them alive. We leave them whole. We drop them down. We let them just run around down there being a nuisance. Because what they're doing is, once the weight hits the ground, the way we have our setup for our leader, the weight will hit, and then some of the leader will come out the back end of it. So the fish is able to run around just a little bit.
It's got like a radio. It's like a dog. It's like a dog on a leash that's...
It's a short leash, but so, I mean, he's able to run around.
Here's
some,
something
he's just
you
a lot
can
of fun.
Try when you get out there for your squirrel fish. What I do is I take a heavier leader, like 60-pound.
Yep.
I tie a swivel to the top, and then I'm going to tie a swivel to both ends. Now, before I tie the swivel to both ends, what I'm going to do is put that leader through one eye of a swivel. You know, a swivel has two eyes with the center in it.
Right.
I put that leader through one eye of a swivel, and then on both ends, I've got a swivel on it. Now, I tie my line to one end, I tie a sinker to the other end, or put a snap sinker on it.
Okay.
Now, what I'm doing then is coming with a leader off of there about 1.5 to 2 feet. Now, what this allows that squirrel fish to do is when that leader is only attached to one side of that, so he can swim all the way around the leader, he can swim up and down and all the way around it. It's really an amazing presentation for them. Your sinker holds the weight to here,
right.
And then you're coming up about 3 to 4 feet to that other swivel where you're connecting it to your line. So the swivel and you are holding it tight. And then that other one just goes all the way around it. Can you picture what I'm saying?
Yeah, to describe that or to like, because it's very visual, like I had to think about that. So what you're saying, Frank, is you take your main line, you put it through a swivel. And
no,
then
not the main line, the leader.
The leader.
Because I'm tying a swivel on top and bottom of that. So that's what keeps that other swivel that's free-floating on there in place. Because once you get a fish on, it's got a hold on the bottom. So that swivel's grabbing the eye of that other swivel.
Got it.
Off that side swivel, I put my leader. And what I want with this is for that fish to be able to swim all the way around 360 without tangling.
So your weight's on the bottom?
The weight's on the bottom.
Okay.
So, and when you're holding it, you're holding that up tight.
Okay.
So you know, it's a little weird, but I'll have to show you guys and put a picture
I think
up.
I see what you're talking about.
Yeah. Instead of a Carolina rig where if it did do that on a typical rig, it would spin around the line and tangle your line. If you need
exactly.
Hook up, you could get
and when
off.
You use a chicken rig, it's fixed to one side coming out or the porgy rig.
Is that a double leader or are we going to go braid to the bottom?
No, you're
going to
have one, because it's a bigger squirrel fish, you only want to have one bait on there.
Okay.
You don't want to have two baits. So this allows that swivel that comes off the side to your leader can go up and down on that and all the way around without ever tangling anything.
Now, when we do it this way, are we still targeting grouper or are we targeting any big
fish? Well, it's a big fish on the bottom. Okay. So I would say grouper.
Barracuda, grouper, anything swim by the shark even.
Yeah. It just allows you, it's almost the same as a chicken rig, except that instead of tying it to like a three-way swivel where your leader comes
out,
using a standard swivel, but it can swim up and down the line. You're literally waiting for the fish to grab it, pull it off to the side before you know he's there.
Okay.
So heavy sinker, straight up, tied to your line, and then the comes off the side.
Very interesting. So, okay.
Just something a little different for those big baits, because when I'm using a big bait, I don't want two hooks.
Yeah.
I just want one bait, one fish. Yeah. I want a nice one.
Yeah. Now, on our grouper, we just target the one, but our bait fish, when we're going after the squirrel fish, that's when we do the two hook.
Now, and I do double hooks on snappers and porgies and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hoping, apparently, some blue runners, squirrel fish, the pinfish.
So, how do you catch your blue runners?
Pretty much.
They're tough.
Yeah, they are. They're kind of tough. They're very fast. They're very agile. You got to be really on your game on that one. When you drop down, we like to keep the line in our finger as we go down. So we're not just watching the head of the rod. We're actually filling it with our finger, okay? So we put a small amount of squid on a small hook, two-aught hook, maybe a three-aught at best, but two-aught hook. We go down. Again, we're filling the line with our finger. We want to feel that little jig, jig, jig. Mm-hmm. As we go down, we slow it down as it gets to the bottom. These bad boys will hit it and run. We know we got one. We start cranking it back in. We'll normally catch two of those at a time. Yep. They're very very fast fish. They love to run. And it's almost like
mini Jack Crevel.
Yeah, really. That's they're flying. I mean, they are really smoking around that line.
And usually when you hook one, if you have a two-hook rig, you hook one, there's competition. Another one will come and get the other bait immediately. It just draws them in. So
I usually try to target those fairly close to the surface.
Yeah,
you know, I'm using small spoons, small actual just jigs.
Yeah, if we run into a bedum, that's good. But a lot of times we're just out there fishing some of our we call them bait holes. We'll sink out to our bait holes and we'll find we can get our. They're not really the bait; they're eaters. They're lane snappers and stuff like that. If we catch them big enough, we'll throw them in the cooler. If not, we just let them bad boys go and get bigger. But that's where we're targeting those. And a lot of times we'll hit them. And next thing you know, they just start coming. We get the blue runners, we get the squirrel, we get the lane snappers, we sometimes get some mango snappers. We just get a smorgasbord. And then that's where Dad is taking that line out. And we're in the coral area, but he'll get his small rod out, that's that double hook line, and he'll catch flounder off of that thing. And, that's a fun little fish to play with out there. You know, they get some good size to them.
Well, they're like pulling up a dinner plate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the cool part about flounder is it's literally a dinner plate that you're trying to pull up that's fighting to go back.
And to me, that's one of the better tasting fish out there. I love flounder. I grew up on it.
Isn't the transparency of the meat something really cool to see?
Yeah.
You can just see through it.
Yep.
It's like amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is a beautiful looking meat. And
it's an ugly fish, though.
Oh, man.
It's very ugly.
The face all up on one side with the eyeballs and stuff and all those teeth. Ugly, don't even begin to cover that.
Some people in Radio Land, they've never seen this. The flounder is actually born straight up like a normal fish.
Yeah.
But as it matures, it starts going to one side or the other, and that makes it a male
or
a female.
The eyeballs actually roll around head to become on one side of the head because they want to lay flat on the bottom and still be able to see.
And it camouflages. It's like they're wearing camouflage. They camouflage into the surroundings of what you're doing. My wife and I, we were in the Philippines, and we went snorkeling. And I was surprised that there was flounder there. I wasn't suspecting that at all. And so we're out there, we're snorkeling, we're probably 10, 15 foot deep. And as we're going along, I look, and I'm like, wow. You know, so I motioned the wife to come over and look, and she's trying to see. She could not see it. I had to swim down toward it And I pointed to it, and finally, because I got too close, it started moving, and that's when she finally saw it. She could not see the fish. It was blended in so well, you know, with the rocks, you know, and with the
how dogs. Close was she? Like 3 feet away? When she could see her? Like,
well, she's only 4 foot 10. I had a quarter.
So one body length?
Yeah, one body length.
Your wife's going to kill me next time she hears this.
She comes back Tuesday, so be careful.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, we get down there, and she's looking at this fish, and this thing, I mean, it was the biggest flounder I've seen. I mean, I've been guessing what the size of it was because it was still a little bit further away from us. This thing was gorgeous. I mean, it was a gorgeous flounder, man.
Wow.
And so, but they're so soft mouthed. That's the other thing. When you do go out and target flounders, they have a very soft mouth. A lot of people, when they catch a fish, they like to jerk real hard and try to set that hook. If you do that with a flounder, you're going to lose him. Mm. And so what happens is you know, you, more often than not, when you think you got hit and you jerk it back and you say, well, I don't have anything on there, you probably had a soft mouth fish like a flounder or one of those, and you lose it.
Now, for people who don't know, these are all fish that can be caught on the reefs out in the Gulf.
That's right.
You don't have to – flounder's not inshore fish. It's an inshore-offshore fish.
Yeah, it's dual.
So you can catch those in the intercoastal, in the harbor, and then you go out to the Gulf and reef fish. I would say the big difference between snappers, grunts, groupers is they want to be up on the structure, and the flounder is just outside of the structure. That's why when you're casting away from it, and you kind of... Now, Dad, here's a real question I would like you to answer, if you would, please. Are you lifting the rod and setting it down to get those flounder to hit, or are you just dragging it across the bottom when you bring it in? You cast it out.
Right.
And you let it go down to the bottom. Now, what do you do to get the flounder to hit?
I just pull it in very slowly.
So you're kind of almost like dragging it across the bottom. You're not hopping it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And they'll hit it.
Now, what bait do you normally use to do that?
Well, we catch most everything on squid.
On squid.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, these are the reasons we're here on the show, to figure this out. Now, here's one question for you. Do you use chunks of squid, or do you cut them into strips?
We cut it in a strip, then we cut it into pieces about an inch long.
Okay. For the smaller mouth fish.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, it all depends on what you're targeting, but flounders, they have a small mouth. Pinfish, small mouth. Lane snappers, a little bit bigger mouth, but still they like that small bait. So about an inch long strip and kind of narrow, just enough to hide that hook. And really, you know, when you get it out there and you hit the bottom, if you just slowly drag that back in and pause, drag it in, pause, drag it in, pause, it's just enough movement for it to be floating across that bottom. And it's probably still bouncing down there, you know, because we don't have a lot of weight on this. So it's still probably just kind of floating up and back, kind of arching back and forth. And then that's enough for that flounder to be popping. I want to remind everybody about God. God has been blessing us so much. And so when we go out there, we always pray before we hit the water. We get on the boat, we pray, we thank God for the opportunity to go out there and be in His world, and for the opportunity for those fish to be biting, but more about the fellowship. It's always good to start the day out with a good prayer. And when you hit the water, remind yourself that there's other people out there on that water keeping safe. We've been out there, we've heard about boats capsizing, we've seen flares being shot off, and you know, it breaks our heart because there's so many people out there on that water, and it is dangerous. It could be very dangerous for people, and we've known a lot of lives that have been lost out there. So we do like to keep God with us. We love to be praying for everyone that's out there. And I want to tell you, one of the favorite verses we like to use on our prayers, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who shall ever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you can remember that verse, if you can look up that verse, John 3:16, keep that near and dear to your heart, and keep everyone in your prayers. I thank you for that, and God bless everyone.
Now, where is your ministry? You're in Englewood.
Yes, sir.
Where do you hold services, and what time do you do it? What day and what time?
We are on Sunday at 10 a.m. We usually start in about 10 a.m. at 406 North Indiana Avenue, Englewood, Florida. But we have a street ministry. We have a bike ministry. We have a Facebook ministry. We're in four different countries right now. We translate our sermons in different languages. And if you're interested, you want to hear more about us, reach us at 941-412-5551. We'd love to hear from you, and God bless you.
All right. Well, this is God and Fishing. He's the God part. I'm the fishing part. That's Barry. There's the man called Dad. And here's the cook. Now you're going to hear more from him on Cooking Fish, which is going to be coming up a little bit later on today. So, amen. All right. We'll catch you next week.